Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnton.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 12th day of January, 2017. And I'm so delighted to have two first-time guests today. They are going to be continuing a theme that we began yesterday on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, with another guest, Dr. Lynn K. Wilder. She is one of four contributors to the book Leaving Mormonism, Why Scholars Change Their Minds. And yesterday, Dr. Wilder was on the program with her husband, Michael. They are both converts from Mormonism to biblical Christianity. And today we are continuing the theme of that book, Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Change Their Mind, with two of the other authors. We have on the program today Dr. Corey Miller and Dr. Vince Eccles. And Dr. Corey Miller is the president and CEO of Radio Christi. While he grew up in Utah as a sixth-generation Mormon, he came to Christ in 1988 and has since been a youth and college pastor, a Bible college and university professor, a campus minister, lecturer, and first and foremost an evangelist. From 2009 to 2015, he served on staff with Crews Faculty Commons Ministry at Purdue. He is an adjunct professor of philosophy and comparative religions at Indiana University, Kokomo, and he is variously published in journals. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Corey Miller.
Chris, thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And also joining us today is Dr. J. Vincent Eccles, who is a research scientist with a doctorate in physics. After finishing his postdoctoral work at Max Planck Institute for Extraterrestrial Physics in Garching, Germany, Dr. Eccles worked in industry and university environments on topics of atmospheric and space science. He is author and co-author of over 70 publications in refereed science journals, and has been principal investigator on grants and contracts from NASA, NSF, and Air Force. Dr. Eccles currently works at Utah State University as a research scientist with an emphasis in theory and modeling of the upper atmosphere. Vince has long pursued a rigorous integration of science and faith in God. He has documented his path from Mormonism to biblical Christianity, and then into a deep crisis of faith. Vince's cathartic writing explores the remnants of his Christian faith and his re-examination of traditional Christian and Mormon theologies. And it's my honor and privilege to also welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the very first time, Dr. Vincent Eccles.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Pleasure to be here.
And if anybody else would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if indeed you would live outside of the USA. If you have a personal and private question that you'd like to ask and you do not wish to identify yourself because perhaps you are a Mormon or perhaps your family is Mormon and you'd rather not let our listeners know your identity. We can understand it if it's a personal and private matter. So you may remain anonymous if that is the case. But if it's not a personal and private matter, please at least give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Well, first of all, I want to get a summary of how each of you, having been Mormons, came to Christ, what providential circumstances or sovereign law brought about in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. And first of all, let me begin with Dr. Corey Miller.
Yeah, well, in my case, I was a sixth-generation Mormon growing up in Salt Lake City, Utah. And at one particular juncture, I had a friend who invited me to California to spend the summer there, be able to consume the sunlight at the beaches. And one condition was that we go to this non-denominational Christian camp. His father was willing to pay for that. And for me, I wasn't looking to change my religion. So I thought, okay, that's not a problem. I'm not going to worry about that. It's only 1 week. I went there, and the speaker talked about hell. And I tell people that literally scared the hell out of me and heaven right into me. And it was such an eye-opening experience for me spiritually that I felt like I saw Jesus for the first time, not in religion, but something much, much deeper in a relationship, and I saw it in people. And that was so impactful to me that I went back home for the summer, packed my bags, and moved to California for my junior year of high school, where I was discipled, and it was a very seminal year in my early Christian life.
Oh, praise God for that. And now, Dr. Vince Eccles, if you could give us a summary of your own testimony of how the Lord drew you out of Mormonism and into Bible-believing Christianity.
Yes, I lived my early life mostly in Utah, and my family is also part of the lore of Utah Mormon families. Eccles is a fairly large and prominent name in Utah. And as well, on my mother's side, we had some wonderful stories of sheriffs and small farmers in southern Utah. So very much a part of the culture. Both my parents attended Brigham Young University, the premier university of Mormon Utah. And one of the things that really started my journey within pursuing God was in the Mormon church being very, very diligent to try to pursue God. Some of my first ideas and language about God came out of my understanding within my family in the 1960s and the 50s, actually, but the 60s primarily. And somehow in my youth, I gained a more traditional view of God as being spirit, not physical, and creator of all. And it was in junior high, I went to my Sunday school, it was actually not Sunday school, it was a priesthood meeting class where the doctrines and the metaphysics, basically, of Mormonism was taught in kind of a blunt, literal teaching that God was once a human and progressed to God, God the Father, the Holy Father. And he gained a body on an earth at some point and progressed to his godhood. And now he was God and our Father, Heavenly Father over us. And he, being a physical being, is in his body necessarily tied to a position in space. And through his understanding of spiritual things and the spirit, he gains kind of an omnipresence and an omniscience. And they also presented that the place of his living was on a planet, Kolob, that was near the center of the universe. It was quite dramatically literal, and I was, as a teenager, just blown away by the literal teachings of it. I had not really heard of those descriptions, and it was something that I couldn't even embrace. So from junior high into high school, I started to inquire with reading into what does the Bible say and what is the history of the Mormon Church. And by the end of high school, I had just decided that the Mormon teachings and understanding of who God was not me. I was not a Mormon. So I left Mormonism, pursued paganism in wholehearted pursuit. and a few years later, I ran across some individuals who helped me understand that biblical Christianity is different in understanding who God is, and the Bible teaches something different than what the Mormons teach about God, the Heavenly Father.
Yeah, and what the way you described God the Father and him being a man and then being exalted because of his obedience to eventually become God reminded me immediately of a very famous quote by a Mormon that I have remembered from years ago, Lorenzo Snow. You probably know the quote that I'm going to read, but Lorenzo Snow said, "As man now is, God once was. As God now is, man may be." And Lorenzo Snow was he a contemporary of Joseph Smith or Brigham Young? Hello?
And Brigham Prophet later.
Excuse me?
Brigham Young.
He was an apostle at the time, but he took his... I'm sorry, are you asking this question of Vince?
Either one, so, doesn't matter.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So Lorenzo Snow at the time had this vision, this what he called a revelation, and he passed it by Prophet Joseph Smith, who gave him his blessing. And that's the theology that Joseph Smith began teaching outside of and after the publication of the Book of Mormon. So, yeah, it is a central doctrine listed as the law of eternal progression.
Yeah, and as I...
So was an apostle for years and a prophet as well.
And as I was discussing yesterday with Dr. Lynn K. Wilder, many people who are unfamiliar with Mormonism, whether they are those on the outside of the religion, outside of the Church of Jesus Christ or of Latter-day Saints, or they might even be members of that church but not very educated into its core doctrines, that they might not know some of the more hidden doctrines that are even more startling that have been taught by either or both Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, things that were quite amazing to hear for the first time. But just because the religion is called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and because of the fact that an entity called Jesus Christ plays a central role or one of the central roles in that religion, does not mean that it is a different form or denomination of Christianity. As I was discussing with Dr. Wilder, you could not be farther away from the actual biblical Christian faith being a Mormon than if you were believing in Nordic or Roman or Greek pagan idolatry, could you? I mean, these are really polar opposite religions other than some basic tenets of moral behavior and so on. Corey, let me start with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of descriptions of Jesus that are familiar territory between Mormons and Christians. As one Mormon scholar, Robert Millett, likes to say, there are on every 1.7 verses, there is a reference to Jesus or his ministry in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon subtitle in the 1980s is Another Testament of Jesus Christ. And so they talk about Jesus. They reference Jesus. They put the name Jesus on the name tags that they wear, and it's all over. It's pervasive. And they believe that he's the Messiah. He's the Savior, the Son of God. God the Son, they'll even say. But when you start defining the terms, you have to say how much of Jesus really is identical in Mormon understanding of Christology to their theology and therefore to Christianity. Even though he's called the Son of God or God the Son, there is a real question, at what time did he become God? There was an evolutionary process by which he became fully exalted. And there's one sense in which he's not even yet fully exalted because he's eternally progressing. And in reality, Mormon theology conflates humanity and divinity such that where Christianity might have the Chalcedonian Creed articulating what is believed to be the biblical doctrine of the full humanity and full divinity of Jesus, in not confusing the two natures, but yet found in one person. Mormons don't have a problem with calling Jesus fully man and fully God, because in fact, every human being is man and God. There's a conflation of humanity and divinity. God is eternal, but so are you and I. According to Mormonism, we may have been eternal spirit matter, whatever that means, before having the opportunity to be birthed in the spirit world by a God and his wives. But it's at that time in the spirit world where Jesus somehow got exalted and then came to earth and a bit different than Christian theology teaches, had to strive in his divinity and his further exaltation while here. And then he got an extra step up again in the next life. That's vastly different from what biblical Christianity teaches in Judaism. You know, from eternity to eternity, you are God. The doctrine of divine aseity or God's self-existence is something that we see in Western concepts of God, in Islam and Judaism and Christianity. That's not in Mormonism. And so you're absolutely right in looking at Mormon theology as much closer to the supermen, a term used by a Mormon prophet, Spencer W. Kimball, of Greek gods than it is to any conception of God in Islam, Judaism, or Christianity.
And give us some more of the basic differences that make Mormonism a completely different religion than Christianity. And then I want to, after you do that, Corey, I want to move on to something in Vince's background that I think is very appropriate to bring up in regard to his study of the extraterrestrial phenomenon and so on. But if you could first, Corey, tell us in summary form, basically all the major reasons why Mormonism is, in stark contrast to Christianity, a different religion.
Yeah, well, Mormonism has, I think the two essential issues are who is God and how does man get to heaven, both of which find their segue in the person and work of Christ. And so the theology will impact the Christology, and that's not only true in the identity of who Christ is, but also what Christ came to do. In Christianity, we talk about grace. In Mormonism, they talk about grace. But grace means something different in Christian circles than it does in Mormon circles. So growing up, I adopted the idea, and this was familiar territory to me and those I was around, try your best, and God will make up the rest. And it was this idea that there's no real serious urgency because we've got a long time, perhaps the next life, depending on certain revelations or teachings, to get things right. And if not, I'm still a good person. Heavenly Father's still a loving Heavenly Father, and I'm sure I'll be blessed in one of the kingdoms. But in further reflection, you start to uncover the Book of Mormon's teaching on this notion of salvation, and it seems much, much more stern. There is no second chance in the next life. There is no try your best, and God will make up the rest. And some Mormon prophets, in particular, Spencer W. Kimball, who was an apostle for 20 years and a prophet for 10 more, wrote one book of significance that he wanted to leave behind as a legacy, and it was called The Miracle of Forgiveness. The point to being a prophet is to have modern revelation, because the alleged claim is, without that prophetic voice, without that priestly authority to act for God, Christendom is lost. Well, what is he teaching about one of the essentials? He's teaching that try your best is not sufficient on page 164, that one must live all the commandments all of the time in order for the grace that's been offered through Christ before that can even be applied. And so perfection is an achievable goal, and the life in which it needs to happen is here and now. And so there is this reason why there is this confusion in your Mormon ranks between try your best and God will make up the rest, and stressing out over whether or not I've done enough to satisfy God. Whether I'm found worthy is the word you often hear in Mormon circles. If you drink too much negative liquids, that might bar you from getting a temple recommend by your bishop. You won't get into the temple for, say, temple marriage where families are forever. You won't spend eternity with Heavenly Father simply for violating the words of wisdom when it comes to beverages.
And what are those beverages, just out of curiosity? I know that alcohol and coffee are two of them, and perhaps all caffeinated beverages, or am I wrong there?
And that's kind of the inside joke, too, because it's not entirely clear. Some caffeine's okay, some not, some alcohol okay, others not, but one just ought to stay away from it. And so you've got all of the commands of the Torah, 613, and you've got some additional commands in the Old Testament, then you've got the New Testament, then you've got the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price. You've got all these additional commands, these words of wisdom you need to live up to, and if you don't do it, you've not sufficiently been found worthy to earn the grace. And that's a fundamental difference between Mormonism and Christianity, the doctrine of grace. If God did not provide the means fully for salvation, then we owe an explanation for the arbitrary assignment of, well, then how much do I need to do? This is the one thing, Chris, that separates biblical Christianity from every other world religion, is grace. Someone's going to have to say 97%, 22.5%, 85%. At some point, we are supposed to bring something to the table to impress a holy God, and that's just not going to cut it. So I think the doctrine of God, the doctrine of salvation, both of which find their segue in the person and work of Christ, are the most important things to look at. There are many, many others that separate Mormonism from biblical Christianity, and there are a ton of similarities as well. But I think those are the two that I maintain focus on, because they're the essentials.
And you mentioned you mentioned the other works that they consider sacred, such as the Pearl of Great Price and the Book of Mormon and the Doctrines and Covenants, which is to be added to the Bible as their guides to truth. And don't they supersede the Bible because they do not trust completely the Bible because they believe it has been corrupted?
Is this a question for me?
This is for still either one of you, actually, and then I'm going to go on to okay. Vince with a different question.
Actually, I'll take that, because I have an additional comment on Corey's comment.
Sure.
That when I left Mormonism, I took with me a distrust of Holy Scriptures, basically of Book of Mormon as well as the Bible, and when I was approached by he was a fellow from Campus Crusade for Christ when I was going to college. He sat me down and I agreed to have some religious discussions with him. I was looking forward to the argument. But he opened up the Bible and read from Jesus saying, "The Father and I are one." And I pulled out the very common Mormon phrase that you can't trust the Bible, because it they can only trust it as far as it is translated correctly, which implies you generally can't trust it, because you don't know where it's wrong. And so I said that, and he was the perfect fellow for me to talk to in college, because he reached into his backpack and pulled out a Greek New Testament, turned to the page, and went to the verse and started reading from the Greek and translating the words for me. And being a mathematician and knowing Greek letters from mathematics and their sounds, I could tell he was actually saying the words. So it was just a stunning thing for me to recognize that the translation process is not a lost art. It isn't something from the distant past that we can no longer do, but that I had to look more intellectually honest at biblical archaeology and manuscript studies of the Bible to see what this thing of the Bible was about. So it quickly got me past what most Mormons suffer under in a bit of distrust over the Bible.
Well, one of
a couple of the... Go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead.
One of the things I was going to say about Mormonism is in flux a little bit now. There have been some very good thinkers within Mormon culture. The Pratt brothers, who were early Mormon theologians during Brigham Young's era, actually were trying hard to figure out how Mormonism would tie into traditional Christianity. And a lot of their ideas were set aside by Brigham Young in particular. And one of the problems with the Mormon culture is that the whole of the Mormon hierarchy is lay people. There are no professional theologians. There are no professional scholars within the hierarchy. It's all based on everybody is a lay person. You don't have paid pastors that make it their life to study the Bible or the Book of Mormon or whatever, except that in the last, I'd say 10 years, there have been some fairly good scholars that have gone to, in Mormonism, that have gone to universities that teach traditional Christianity, and they understand traditional Christianity. And so right now, in the last 5 to 10 years, Mormons are now allowing their scholars to try to understand how Mormonism relates. And in some sense, you can actually hear Mormonism changing within these years. Grace is becoming a term more used within their conference and their teaching. But I do agree with Corey that the fundamental vision of how they see the universe and God and the eternal families that we are a part of and how one returns to the highest heaven where God the Father is substantially different from traditional Christianity, and I prefer to see it as a new religious tradition, not a Christian tradition. So, and long comment there.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I like comments to be as clear and detailed as possible. It is a 2-hour show, after all. And it's better than me pulling teeth. I've had guests in the past that have given very short answers, and nothing makes me sweat more than that. But when we come back from the break, Vince, I'd like you to start with this question when we return, because of the fact that you... work at the Max Planck Institute for Extraterrestrial Physics in Garching, Germany, and you worked in industry and university environments on topics of atmospheric and space science. I wanted you to address the fact that the not only the movies but the TV series Battlestar Galactica was actually at least loosely based on Mormon theology, and some of it involves a planet that the Mormons believe exists called Kolob. And perhaps you could address that to the best of your ability when we return, because a lot of people have no clue that the writer of Battlestar Galactica is a Mormon, and that it was based, at least in part, in some way, upon Mormon theology. And we are also going to take your listeners, your questions, who are listening. If you want to send in an email of your own, and we do have already a number of people waiting to have their questions asked and answered. If you would like to join them and get in line, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away, God willing. We will be right back with Dr. Corey Miller and Dr. Vince Eccles and more of Leaving Mormonism.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Hi. Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you could also call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And they are offering for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners only an additional 10% discount on everything that they sell, even things that are already on sale. If you type in iron, I-R-O-N, for the coupon discount code, you'll receive 10% off everything. And on top of that, if you purchase $50 or more worth of merchandise, you will also get absolutely free of charge a book on assurance by Dr. Joel Beakey, president of the Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who has been a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio many times. So go to cvbbs.com and type in iron for the 10% discount. Also, make sure you order $50 or more if possible to get the free $15 book by Dr. Joel Beakey on assurance. And mention that you heard about this program from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I know that Solid Ground Christian Books, one of my other advertisers, whose ad you heard and which you hear every day on this program, they have been telling me that they are getting dozens and dozens of new customers from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But CVBBS.com, for some reason, very rarely hears from their customers that you are hearing about them from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It's a mystery to all of us because the sales are really nearly going through the roof for Solid Ground Christian Books with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio customers. So if you are indeed ordering from CVBBS.com, please mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. One way you could do that is when you are checking out, type that in the instructions. I heard about you from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The other way is by using the exclusive discount coupon code, IRON, I-R-O-N. But, and by the way, that's only for a limited time, so I strongly advise that you use that very soon. Use that coupon code, I-R-O-N, to make sure that they know that the Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners are patronizing CVBBS.com. And we look forward to hearing a good report from Todd and Patty Jennings, owners of CVBBS.com, very soon. We are back now with our two guests, Dr. Corey Miller and Dr. Vince Eccles, both former Mormons, both scholars who changed their minds and by God's grace became born-again, Bible-believing Christians. They are two of the four authors of the book, Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Changed Their Minds, published by Kriegel Publications. Yesterday we had Dr. Lynn Wilder
on the program, Lynn K. Wilder, who is one of those four authors, and she was on with her husband yesterday to start the ball rolling with this topic, and today we have Dr. Corey Miller and Dr. Vince Eccles. We hope to have Dr. Latane C. Scott back on at some point in the future to also put her two cents in, as it were, in regard to this. She is one of the four authors, also a former Mormon who became a Bible-believing Christian. If you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Before the break, Dr. Vince Eccles, I had mentioned that I wanted to hear from you specifically, and I'd also love to hear anything that Corey has to say about this as well, but since you work at the Max Planck Institute for Extraterrestrial Physics in Garching, Germany, I thought that you might have something unique to say about the relationship between Battlestar Galactica, the planet Kolob, and the Mormon Church.
Yeah, I have watched the Battlestar Galactica, the late version, which is interesting to see some of the theological implications of Mormonism, which is the human family being a part of a huge number of planetary systems, and basically Earth got started by a bunch of... Well, maybe I shouldn't give away or say that I'm going to give away what the last... the end of the whole series is, but they basically a human race populates Earth with their seed when they come here through spaceships. But yeah, the extraterrestrial physics in Garching, Germany was actually extraterrestrial in German, really just means everything that's not Earth science. So it was rigorous space science of what the environment is for satellites and everything between the sun and the clouds.
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling it wasn't about
physics there.
I kind of had a feeling the second or third time around reading your bio that it was not involving Martians, but it still applies. It still applies, I think, as far as the relationship, because if there was a planet Kolob, it would obviously be involving a science outside this Earth.
Right. You know, it's interesting. The more physics I understand about this Earth, it is a peculiarly wonderful place. It is very unusual for life to exist on any particular planet. There's so many things that have to be just right for life to even survive on a lot of these planets. They're discovering a whole bunch of planets now with the Kepler satellite mission. And in particular, they're looking for future planets for us to go explore. But it is so difficult, actually, to maintain a planet in a good situation for life to be a good environment for life itself, if not even the civilization itself. There are some that think that this may be the only planet in the entire universe that has a human civilization capable of exploring the stars. But and that doesn't bother me at all, that God would do such a marvelous, enormously wonderful and large creation, and we'd be the one planet that he's focused on and comes and visits, you know, as Christ, God incarnate.
And by the way, I know and have interviewed Colonel Jeffrey Williams, who is an astronaut who has taken more photographs of Earth from space than anyone else and has a gorgeous photographic book of photographs that he has taken from space. And I would love to hook the two of you up at some point. It sounds like it might be a beneficial friendship to develop between the two of you. But
well, this planet is incredible as far as a gift from God to us. So,
yeah. Amen. And Corey, do you have anything to add to that about the science fiction connection with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Probably not anything of the expertise like Vince can in terms of the physics, but yeah, it is interesting that the author of that program put in a number of parallels. The organizational structure that Vince mentioned at the beginning in terms of a sort of a lay leadership, you know, the early colonies of the organization were based on a president and a quorum of 12. Likewise, you've got a quorum with a president now. Of course, the Mormon Church president just recently died, and the new one is being installed. But you've got the same organization. You've got that issue of COLOB that you mentioned, except for in Battlestar Galactica, they call it COBOL. But the nature of God that I mentioned before in terms of an evolving God and the quote that you gave from Lorenzo Snow is remarkable because there's something in Battlestar Galactica. I think that the gods had said something like, if you are now, we once were, as we are now, you can be, or something like that. So, yeah, lots of interesting parallels there. But it certainly was an ingenious attempt by the author of that to put out some parallels in Battlestar Galactica that were Mormon theology and soteriology and organizational structure.
All right, I'm going to take some of our listener questions because they do tend to pile up very quickly, and then I wind up not having time at the end to take all of them. Let's see. We have Christina in Isanti, Minnesota, and she says, in the LDS marriage practice of sealing, a man can be sealed to many women for time and eternity, but when it comes to a Mormon widow, despite being pressured into remarriage, how does she justify being married again for one time and not eternity? And you could, we'll start with Corey on this, and then you both can answer.
Well, that's a good question, and it's also confusing because in the temple ceremony, the man is given a, you know, they're given secret or sacred names, and it's supposed to be the man who calls the woman out from the grave into the next life. The problem is what happens if that man falls away and the woman stays faithful? Well, no one's there to call her out. Maybe he makes it, she doesn't. You can see where the consequences of that go. You end up getting the possibility that there are going to be more men than women in celestial glory, and maybe you have sort of a reversal of polygamy. I'm not sure Mormons have clarity on that whole idea, what that sealing even means, especially with the idea of exaltation and gods and goddesses. Who do you get sealed to, and are you cross-pollinating in that new world? You know, suppose Jesus gets exalted, and he's now a god, and he has goddess wives. He's going to be, is he sealed, and is he with his family, with his father? What about his sons and daughters? There's just not a lot of clarity on this, Chris. I don't think the standard Mormon you ask, because of a lack of clarity on some of their doctrines with respect to this, has an answer on that. Vince might have right. something else to add, but I don't think that it's clear.
Yeah, I think... living in Utah, it's apparent that there is a bit of a backlash of females, of women in the Mormon Church, some who don't want to be sealed forever to their husband for various reasons. I think, and as I talked earlier, the scholarship, there's some rigorous scholarship going on currently by, and the church is permitting it. And I think some of these issues in particular are going to get re-examined and redefined within in Mormon culture because they do present such a difficult problem for the afterlife being still to many, but the whole intent, which is what they will aim at to continue, is eternal families. Somehow, you know, like it would parallel, I suppose, the body of Christ and trying to bring a unity to all believers. They do it through eternal families. So it will be probably redefined somewhat in a more nuanced way, but it will be definitely around the concept of family. We have our own, and hopefully it will go towards a metaphor instead of something rigorously literal, which is what it is currently. I will not return to Christianity or to Mormonism. I examine this in the book for various reasons. I just do not think in terms of Mormon theology, and Christian theology is still wonderful and beautiful to me. So,
well, thank you, Christina.
I also
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. You continue your thought.
I don't want to sometimes argue against 18th century Mormons or 19th century Mormons when I see that they're starting to actually address some of the criticisms that Christians have had about Mormonism. So,
right, and sometimes...
Changing.
Yeah, and sometimes, in fact, I would think that most of the changes are for the worse because they're being... softer on some things that Christians universally view as damnable sins, it seems. And also, their changes often contradict what their prophets have declared were very commands of God himself, and therefore they really don't have any logical, consistent right to change certain things, if you follow what I'm saying. Like, for instance... We find it perhaps wonderful that many of these people in the Mormon hierarchy saw fit to come to the place where they view African Americans and other minorities as the equal with rights, and are granted the same blessings and freedoms and liberties and options in life and so on as their white Mormon counterparts. But at the same time, we don't want any more reasons for African Americans or anyone else to be lured into this cult, because it is indeed a heretical cult. And I suspect from what I have heard from other guests that their reasons were not because of a softened heart that had abandoned racism or anything like that. It was more because of the fact that they were fearful of losing tax exempt status and so on. Can you speak on that? We'll start with Corey, since Vince just left off. Corey, even going back to polygamy, when there was a radical transformation and a new message, it seemed, from the Almighty that a husband was to be married to one woman only, monogamy became the rule for the Latter-day Saints, which is why many of the polygamous Mormons escaped to Mexico and other places and still exist to this day, the fundamentalist polygamous Mormons. But these were changes, that change and the change in regard to the status of blacks in their church and in regard to the priesthood and other privileges that they were now welcomed to partake in. These were really from government pressures. I mean, the United States government, and when it came to polygamy, was going to seize their property and throw them in prison if they continued. Isn't that true?
Well, so yeah. So polygamy, you encountered what was called the ban in 1890, approximately. And, of course, if you're thinking pro-Mormon here, you would be thinking, okay, there was a modern revelation given to modern prophetic authorities. If you are looking at the circumstances at the time, you might be thinking, no, that seems to be pretty convenient in order to garner statehood and to put this ban in. Whatever the case with one's interpretation of that situation, you can't erase the past history. Vince is right that the modern Mormon church, there is a lot of evolution taking place in many of the doctrines and practices, but some of that cannot get away from the historical origins. So, for example, in the Doctrine and Covenants, it talks about polygamy, and it talks about it in such a way that it's an eternal covenant. Brigham Young says that it was an eternal covenant, and you are damned if you don't enter into it. And so you have, you know, tens of thousands of Mormons in different Mormon sects, all with their own sets of apostles and prophets claiming to be the restored gospel, who say that the Salt Lake Church apostatized at the time. For political expediency, they left the reservation of prophetic authority, and they no longer have the authority to be the one true church. And so these polygamous sects in Utah continue to practice it and claim and lay claim to being the authentic prophetic authority handed down from Joseph Smith through Brigham Young till today. Same thing with the blacks and the priesthood. You know, you had various places, doctrines, other writings by general authorities that would talk about that. And then I think it was it June 1st, 1978, Bruce R. McConkie, an apostle, says it's a new day and a new era. And I remember, I was just a young boy at the time, but I remember some of my friends who were older and look back on it were not happy campers about that. Again, that came right on the heels of the civil rights movement. So if you are looking at it charitably and from a pro-Mormon standpoint, you see that that's part of modern revelation. For those on the outside, a bit more suspicion might be warranted given the circumstances of the times that it seemed to be antithetical to where the culture was going. And so there is wonder right now, as Vince has suggested, with some of the rethinking of Mormon foundations. One of the biggest reasons Mormons who are insiders come to reject Mormonism is they're finally on the internet finding their history, and they're seeing Joseph Smith and how he was marrying dozens and dozens of women, some assigning men's wives to be his wives when he got to heaven. Others, he just couldn't wait till they got to heaven. And so while they were still married to another man, that woman would have two husbands, one being Joseph Smith and one being their first husband. So they find out that Joseph Smith had dozens and dozens of women. At least Muhammad, you know, limited himself. And so that's not something that they're very proud of. And you might find, you know, Mormonism evolving even in sexual ethics. There's a lot of pressure on the Mormon Church to be accepting of the LGBT lifestyle, not just the person. And I think the incoming prophet probably is going to carry them into continue the conservative Mormonism. But I wouldn't be surprised, given the direction and the trajectory on some of their issues, if one day they come to accept it from on high.
Right. And of course, a Bible-believing Christian would not think of that as evolving. They would look at that as devolving. Not that we should ever hate or mistreat people who have any kind of sin that they practice, including homosexuality, but at the same time, it is always a shame when religious institutions salve the consciences of those involved in that sin to make them more comfortable remaining in it. And, you know, you have clerics of all kinds of religions marrying same-sex couples and celebrating and rejoicing with them in their wickedness, but the Christian scriptures, and the Hebrew scriptures, for that matter, offer no such hope of eternal life or peace with Christ if they continue in that behavior. And we're going to...
Right, and
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, because we have to go to a break.
I was going
to
say that some of these things you're finding within contemporary Christianity, too.
Yes, of course.
Cultural struggles are there.
And by the way, that sounded like Corey. I don't know if you moved your mouth away from the phone or something, but sometimes you get very quiet. So if you could make sure you're as close to your mouthpiece or your speakerphone or wherever it is, because we'd like to have you as loud and clear as possible.
Thank you.
Yeah, like right now. That was good. All right. We're going to our break right now. This is an elongated break. It's longer than normal because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires a 12-minute break between our 2 hours. Please be patient with us as we go to this break and take the time to write in questions. By the way, Christina is in Asante, Minnesota. You have won a free copy of Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Change Their Minds. Please give us your full mailing address in Asante, Minnesota, so cvbbs.com can ship that out to you. And we thank our friends at Kriegel Publications and also our friends at cvbbs.com for enabling us to give away these free books today. Kriegel donating them and cvbbs.com shipping them out at no charge to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our guests, Dr. Corey Miller and Dr. Vince Eccles, right after these messages from our sponsors.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again,
717-254-6433. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in Culinary Arts and Applied Science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com. Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering,
understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981. Or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. Before I return to my guests, Dr. Corey Miller and Dr. Vince Eccles, as we discuss Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Changed Their Minds, I just have a couple of important announcements to make. First of all, next week, from Wednesday through Saturday, the G3 conference returns to Atlanta, Georgia. And I, God willing, will be there, manning an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth once again, thanks to our friends at the Lynbrook Baptist Church in Lynbrook, Long Island, BatteryDepot.com, and the publishers of the New American Standard Bible. Thank them for not only renewing their contracts to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and keep it moving on the air and keep it broadcasting, but also for their sponsorship of my exhibitors booth tour at a number of very prominent conferences that will be taking place over the next 11 months here in the United States. And I look forward to meeting you, many of you, some of you for the first time, and some of you who are old friends or acquaintances that I will be reconnected with at these events. The G3 conference this year is on the theme, Knowing God, A Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. The G3, in case you're wondering, stands for Grace, Gospel, and Glory. And the event starts on the 17th of January, this coming Wednesday. And in the daytime, it will be a Spanish-speaking edition of the G3 conference. And then the English-speaking edition of the conference kicks off in the evening of Wednesday, the 17th of January, when Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries debates a Muslim apologist. And then on the morning of Thursday, January 18th, through January 20th, the English-speaking conference continues with such speakers as Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, Phil Johnson, Keith Getty, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, James White, Tom Askell, Anthony Mathenia, Michael Kruger, David Miller, Paul Tripp, Todd Friel, Derek Thomas, Martha Peace, Justin Peters, Stephen Nichols, and Jeremy Volo. If you would like to register for the G3 conference, either for just admittance, general admission to the conference itself, or if you want to man an exhibitor's booth, just as I will be doing, you can go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and then you can please make sure that if you register for either just general admission or for an exhibitor's booth, please make sure you tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, I have to rattle my tin cup, something that I hate doing, but I have to once again ask you for donations and advertising. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in a very precarious position financially. We are truly on the verge of going off the air, and thankfully, because of a small stream of donations coming in from very generous listeners, we have prolonged that. We would love to know for certain that we could stay on for another year, and that's going to involve more of you donating to us or purchasing advertising from us. If you really love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, click on support. You will be given a mailing address where you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for any amount that you can afford. With the caveat, I never want anybody to be siphoning money out of their giving to their local church. Please never do that. And please never take food off of your family's dinner table or put your family in financial jeopardy if you are struggling to make ends meet. I do not want anyone doing that in order to donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, supporting your family and your church. Supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and I would really appreciate it if you indeed do not want us to disappear, if you were to donate to us today as much as you can and as often as you can, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and mail us a check to that address that you will see by clicking support. Please mail us as much as you can and as often as you can without ever violating those two commands that I mentioned. Please never jeopardize the finances of your family and never siphon money out of your giving to your church. If you want to advertise with us, just send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. And that is also the email address, chrisarnson@gmail.com, where you can send in a question to our two guests, Dr. Corey Miller and Dr. Vince Eccles, two former Mormons who are contributors to the book Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Change Their Minds. And please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And we do have a first-time questioner, Charles from Rome, New York. How important is it for laymen to understand all of the nuances of the original Greek and Hebrew translations when speaking to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses? And would a layman's time be better spent studying elsewhere? Thank you. I assume Charles means elsewhere than other than learning original Greek and Hebrew. I'm assuming that's what he meant. But if you could each comment, first Dr. Corey Miller.
Yeah, I don't think that in the vast majority of cases, knowing Greek and Hebrew is going to make a huge difference in the text and in your conversation with Mormons. You want to know Greek and Hebrew so that you can read the text better and know God better.
And obviously this is the text of Scripture. This is the text of Scripture because the Mormon writings are in English in their origin. They're not in, or they would claim from translations from a seer stone, as far as the Book of Mormon is concerned, but the Greek and Hebrew is involving the Holy Scriptures.
Right, and I think, you know, there are certain places where it's quite interesting. For example, you take the Lord's Prayer at the very end of it, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." That section is not in the most accurate and earliest ancient manuscripts. And so any one of your contemporary versions of the New Testament will have a footnote. Anyone listening right now can open up their Bible, and there's probably going to be a footnote to flag that. Now, they're not going to change all the Bibles because of that, but the footnotes make it a note that most scholars, this is not just liberal or conservative, scholars across the board will claim that that part isn't there. Well, it is there in the Book of Mormon, knowing that the Book of Mormon has virtually plagiarized approximately 10% of the King James Version of the Bible. It includes that part in it. So, you know, you can spot that if you know Greek and you're looking at a textual apparatus and have the reasons even in that apparatus why those few parts that are in our modern editions of New Testaments aren't considered by prominent current scholarship, liberal and conservative across the board, to be part of the original text. And that's a flag about a question about the Book of Mormon. But for the most part, the issue of knowing Greek and Hebrew is not really going to be a substantial part of your conversation with Mormons.
Anything to add, Vince?
I was talking with an individual just a couple days ago who has recently left the Mormon Church. I was in a conversation with a group of people, and she was asking about the Bible and various translations. And it, for the committed Mormon, definitely King James is the only translation they will use. And it is good to tell them, to tell someone who's questioning and starting to pursue an understanding of the Bible, that pretty nearly any English translation you pick up will say essentially the same thing. Even the same thing as the King James. There will be slight differences, but generally, I've read so many translations. It is the gospel in there, and you will see it come through these translations. And that is probably one of the most important things to tell anyone, that don't worry about a translation. The modern translations are pretty good. Just read the New Testament, read the Gospels, and actually discover the beautiful person of Jesus Christ in it. So
the true Jesus Christ of the Scriptures. And thank you, Charles, from Rome, New York. Since you are a first-time questioner, I would love for you to give us your full mailing address, because not only are you winning a free copy of Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Changed Their Minds, but you're also getting absolutely free a New American Standard Bible, since you are a first-time questioner. So make sure we have your full mailing address in Rome, New York, so that cvbbs.com can ship the copy of Leaving Mormonism out to you as soon as possible, along with a free New American Standard Bible. And we also have Abraham in Meridian, Idaho. Generally, what do faithful Mormons say is behind conversion stories such as yours? I can see how they would react to ex-Mormons who have fallen away completely from religion, but what about people such as yourself who now having a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And that is Abraham in Meridian, Idaho. And once again, Corey, if you could start. And what's especially interesting about this? And I'll have you bring this up, or I'll bring this up to you a little later. But what makes this especially interesting is the Mormons seemingly have changed their public relations approach when they evangelize people, if they even use that term. But I can remember there was a stark contrast between when I invited Mormon missionaries in my home in New York when I was a brand new Christian in the mid to late 1980s or early 1990s, there was a very different approach to the Mormon missionaries I bumped into right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, within months of today, who I bumped into in the street, who said to me that you've probably heard that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints thinks they are the only true church. That's not true at all. We're Christians just like you, was the thing that was told me by these young Mormon missionaries. That was not what was told me back in the late 1980s by the Mormon missionaries who came into my house. But if you could, I think that that is connected with what might be said about you, since you haven't just become abandoned to become enslaved to sin and what would be called scandalous wicked behavior of any kind, you'd become Christians. Now, how would that what would be the Mormon response to that, that you have changed your views of who Jesus is, what salvation is, what the gospel is, and what the Holy Scriptures are? And Corey, if you could start.
Well, it's fairly standard practice to view people who leave the Mormon Church as apostates. And the only reason you would want to apostatize is because you have fallen into sin. Sometimes Christians would say the same thing. You know, maybe there was something else going on in the life of Bart Ehrman or of Richard Dawkins or someone who, Anthony Flew, who grew up with the faith and rejected it, than mere intellectual rejection. So we say similar things. But, you know, there are people, I would say statistically right now, there are some statistics that show that between 47 and 53% of Mormons in the Mormon Exodus are leaving and going into the new atheism. Doing what we've done and going, you know, at the highest level and writing on the topic, that's kind of a curious thing to many Mormons, because you would expect it to just, you're going into sin, you reject God and Christ altogether. Well, that's one thing that sets our book apart, is we have not rejected God. We have rejected Mormonism, and we are deeply in love with Jesus. People can look and see things that may have happened, say, in adolescence. Vince is free to tell his story, but Vince and I have similarities in that our conversions away from Mormonism came earlier than two of the other authors. And in my case, yeah, I write about this in my story of how I left the lifestyle of being an active Mormon. I rejected the Mormon community and the hypocrisy that I saw. I did not reject the Mormon theology. I didn't even know really of a different theology. I didn't reject God. I rejected Mormonism and its cultural experiences at the time. What turned me on to Christ was a living encounter with Christ, something that turned me away from the world. And what made me then become interested in the life of the mind in philosophy and comparative religions that I teach in today is because now I was challenged by some of my Mormon friends and family that on one interpretation, I'm becoming a very bad boy. You know, leaving Mormonism, what I supposedly knew to be true, and now have left it for something else, maybe I need to reconsider. And I became not just an apostate, but perhaps a son of perdition. And when you now write against it, that's the worst of the worst. But it's not because I reject Mormons. And at that time, it wasn't because I was just merely living in sin. All of us have sin. I accepted Christ. I still believed in God. I was never an atheist. I was in skepticism for a period of time. But once I started getting serious and investigating comparative religions and philosophy and so forth, that's when I started to see that Christianity was set apart from all of these other competitors of ideas, that the evidence really is there to produce sound, reasonable faith. And that's where I'm at today. But no, I think it's just a scapegoat to say that anyone who rejects Mormonism must do so because they're living in sin. Surely there's something sinful about you to reject Mormonism. It can't be because it's not true. No, it can be.
Yeah, but going back to what I said, I think that they have a harder time in the 21st century if their rhetoric has become, we're Christians just like you. We just have, you know, basically coming from the point of we're just another denomination, not the original rhetoric of the Mormon Church, not only at its inception, but even as recent as the 1980s, 1990s, Mormons weren't typically saying that kind of a thing. So, in other words, they would have less to say to you in derision or in chastisement or rebuke if indeed their rhetoric was honest, that we're Christians just like everybody else in different Christian denominations. There really is no big deal. I am not going to have a heart attack or be thrown into the depths of depression if some of my Baptist friends become Presbyterians. There is a much more cataclysmic event taking place when someone leaves Mormonism and becomes a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, i.e. a Baptist, a Presbyterian, etc. So if you could, just to comment a little bit about that, and then Vince, you could say what you have to say on that.
Yeah, it's really the restored gospel. It's leaving. They look at it this way. If I can illustrate, some missionaries sometimes will use an illustration like this. If you can imagine a suspended ceiling or even a mirror being held up by 12 wires, and if you cut all of the 12 wires, the mirror falls and shatters into 1,000 pieces. Well, all of the bits and pieces were part of the truth of Christendom, and all the different denominations each went and picked up some of them. So all of them have some of the truth, but none of them have the whole truth. Since the total apostasy happened, and until that was restored in the restoration, the wholeness of the gospel, the whole truth, the priestly authority to function for God has been missing and is only grounded in the Mormon Church, the Salt Lake version of the Mormon Church, that is. And so even if the modern rhetoric over the last 3 to 4 decades sometimes turns to say, hey, we're all Christians, they still mean by that is, but there is only one restored Christian church, and that's what you've apostatized from.
And Vince, do you have anything to say?
Yes, I think Mormons in general, and often the missionaries in particular, do view that they are Christianity with something added, more truth added, and that is based on the idea that their prophet, which is an active, well, they don't have a prophet right now, but the prophet and the line of prophets of the Mormon Church continue to actually speak authentic scripture. So they are continually adding to the truth of Christianity. That is how they view their Mormonism. I believe that one of the most important things for them to do, any Mormon, is to read the Bible. Read Matthew or Luke, and then read Galatians, and read it to try to understand it. And they will be confronted with something that is not particularly Mormon, and particularly Jesus Christ, who is expressed in the Gospels, and the good news expressed in the letters of Paul are so beautiful and yet so different from Mormonism that I think it should become apparent to any honest seeker. I was going to say that my exit from the church actually, and my brother, actually my siblings have all become born-again Christians.
Oh, praise God.
Now, but and we have all had our names removed from membership. And that was actually quite a process. For me, it took about 2 decades of effort to contact
wow.
Mormon bishopric and ask them. I had to read the Book of Mormon and do a bunch of things. And my brother was asked before a court, a bishopric's court, and they stated the sins of his life and excommunicated him. It was pretty interesting because my brother is one of the most amazing human beings I know, and it was assumed that one is involved with sin, and that's why that someone would choose to leave the Mormon Church. However, in the culture, I still live in a very Mormon town. The people around me are wonderful people, and we have excellent conversations, and they are just wonderful people. So,
well, we have to go to our
certainly a difference in the processes of the church and the people working out trying to be good people, good human beings in this world. So.
We have to go to our final break right now, and we do still have a few people waiting to have their questions asked and answered, but if you want to join them, now is the time to do it because we are rapidly running out of time. Send your email as quickly as possible to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Dr. Corey Miller and Dr. Vince Eccles to conclude our discussion on leaving Mormonism.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I want to thank each and every one of you for purchasing so many books from solid-ground-books.com. They have reported back to me, as I said earlier, that they are thrilled with the number of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners who are patronizing them and turning things around for the better in regard to their sales. They were in a little bit of a sales slump, to put it mildly, when they relocated from Alabama to Florida, but you are helping them get pulled out of that slump, and they are raving over there about how many of you are ordering not only one or two copies, but some of you are even ordering very large quantities of books from solid-ground-books.com. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing that. And by the way, you can also order Solid Ground Christian Books from CVBBS.com, since CVBBS.com, another one of my sponsors, is a book distributor, not a publisher, whereas Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher. So you could go to solid-ground-books.com and make a long list of everything you want to order from Solid Ground Christian Books. That's Solid Ground Christian Books website, solid-ground-books.com. Make that list and then go to cvbbs.com and order those books. And that way you can help reach that $50 mark faster to win the free copy of Dr. Joel Beakey's book on assurance, which is a $15 book. You get that absolutely free. And also you can enter in the coupon code IRON, IRON, which is only for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners, to get an additional 10% off anything you order, including things that are already discounted. So I thank you so much for patronizing our sponsors and helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air. I don't know if I told Abraham in Meridian, Idaho, that you have also won a free copy of Leaving Mormonism. So make sure we have your full mailing address. Now we have David in Ada, Ohio. And David says, my question has to do with Mormons who leave Mormonism and don't convert to Christianity. While it would be best if they would be born again, however, isn't that up to Jesus? So while we witness to them about the true faith, if they aren't granted eternal life in Jesus, I don't consider them as being any worse off than if they had stayed in Mormonism. Why is it otherwise? Why do some think if they leave Mormonism and have no religion, they are worse off than if they had stayed in the Mormon church? Thank you for this program and the information. It is much needed. Well, I don't think either of my guests made that claim that it's better to leave Mormonism even if you become an atheist or something, because of the fact that both categories of people would not enjoy eternal life. So if you want to respond, both of you, to what David has said, I know that you are both born-again believers in Christ, so I know that you would obviously agree that the eternal destiny of one leaving Mormonism doesn't change if they do not come to faith in Christ.
Right. 1 John chapter 5, 9 through 13, it concludes that this is the testimony. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. So it doesn't matter what else you believe. If you are right or wrong on a plethora of different beliefs, if you have the wrong God, if you have the wrong Christ, if you lack biblical Christ, you lack eternal life. And this is, you know, the claim that we make at the very end of the book. Historical, traditional biblical Christianity is more logically coherent, empirically adequate, existentially viable, and practically livable than any other competing worldview. trusting in Jesus is the most plausible and satisfying thing. That's our goal here, and Vince has mentioned it several times. What we want to do is not necessarily to get people to reject Mormonism. We want them to gaze upon the Jesus of history, the Jesus of Revelation. And so while there is this massive Mormon exodus taking place right now, many of them are leaving into the new atheism. That does them no good. So we wrote the sixth chapter in effort to put a stop sign up and say, wait, don't go left, go right. You need to reconsider the biblical, scientific, historical, philosophical grounds for this beautiful Jesus movement that is the historic Christian faith. And so we offer up reasons to combat the new atheism, dealing with issues of science and scripture, of the problem of evil and pain and suffering, and the reliability of the Bible. Our effort is not to get people to leave Mormonism per se, but to accept Jesus.
The true Jesus. And Vince, do you have anything to add?
There's only one.
Yes.
Yes, my path, particularly my father, had an influence on basically always requiring that you look at things rigorously. And in some sense, I always felt that I didn't need to work hard to cover up things, or God could, and God and truth can defend themselves. I've always trusted that to be true. So looking into a subject, everything has to make sense to me. That's always been true for me. So when I left the Mormon Church, I had tossed everything aside as far as religious institutions in the Bible, and it was only when it was told to me that there was a new basis that I could explore to see if something was true or not in the archaeology and the history of the Bible manuscripts, that I decided to re-examine Christianity itself. You can always find errors in institutions, in problems of a particular religious institution. We're people. There's going to be problems there. But if you look honestly at what the Bible is saying, and particularly the person of Jesus, that is what draws people to Christ, Jesus himself. And that's what drew me. Once I had kind of gotten through all my questions and got some pretty good answers from people when I was searching out the hard questions, does Christianity make sense? And is there a good historical basis for it? Then I finally could honestly look again at Jesus, and he drew me in. I mean, I could go no other place. So definitely Jesus is the one that will draw people to himself.
Amen. And we have Joey in Clifton, New Jersey. Hi, Corey and Vince. Thank you for your help. Can you please share your understanding of the Mormon view of eternal destinies of these three types of individuals? First, Mormons who are not in a place of prominence. Let's call them the majority of Mormons. Do they also eventually evolve to godhood? Are they different from the more elite? I will just let you both answer that before I move on to his other two categories.
This has been here. I'll start this time.
Go ahead.
In some sense, Mormonism has a almost universal salvation message. Everyone experiences an eternal life. And most everyone, even those who aren't Mormon, go to a certain level of heavenly existence after they die. So there is a somewhat of an appealing sensibility of all people are saved into some sort of heaven.
Even from what I've heard, even Hitler and Charles Manson are in a better place than an apostate Mormon.
That could be true in the dogmatist sense of it that it's the apostate that goes to something that is more like hell, sons of perdition, punishment. So the vast majority of people will go to one of three levels of heavenly existence. But if you want to return to the place where God the Father is, which is the highest heaven, then you have to move through becoming a member of the Mormon Church, moving higher into the keys, the priesthoods, and go into celestial marriage and participate in temple rites. There's things that you must participate in to return to the place where God's presence is, the Heavenly Father's presence is. So, and that number is often viewed as being much smaller number. Not everyone will achieve that glory of Godhood in that highest heaven. Corey, anything else?
I don't have too much to add to that. I would say this is the distinction between salvation and exaltation in Mormonism. Exaltation is to Godhood, and that is in the highest heaven, as Vince is speaking of, celestial glory. And note this, that this notion of varying degrees of heaven or of glory and of Godhood is completely foreign to the Book of Mormon. That is other Mormon doctrines written later and other prophetic utterances. But there are some sects of Mormonism who would completely reject that. For example, the Community of Christ, which was the RLDS Church, they don't accept the Book of Abraham that talked about the plurality of gods. They don't accept these varying degrees of heaven. If you read the Book of Mormon, it has heaven and hell, and that's it. And it's got a deadline by which you must obtain worthiness to get the grace that Christ provided. So in one sense, you ask five different Mormons, you get six different answers. And so you need to think this way, that you have two ears and one mouth. Listen to the Mormon that you're talking with, find out what it is that they believe, and in all likelihood, it's probably as Vince laid it out. It's the exaltation, the few, the proud, those who make it and are found worthy. The rest, well, they're just content. They'll be in a degree of glory. So there's no urgency to repent. But again, I want to reaffirm what Vince has said. Read the New Testament. Read the New Testament. Read the New Testament. You're not going to find another opportunity in the next life. You will find out how sinful you are, and it will resonate with your human condition in reality. And you'll see, if you seek God, genuinely, you'll see the biblical Jesus and the need for grace.
Yeah, you basically both already answered what would be the eternal destiny of the other two categories. His other two categories were Christians who, outside the Mormon Church, believe in Christ but not profess, do not profess Joseph Smith, and complete unbelievers like atheists or agnostics, or what have you, they would all be, according to what you two just said, in some level of heaven. Am I right?
In my understanding, I believe that's probably correct.
And the final thing that Joey asks is, do they, the Mormons, speak clearly on these three categories? And you obviously already answered that as well. You said if you ask five different Mormons, you may get five different answers.
Six.
Okay, six. And to even bring it home a little bit closer, as far as the very first group of people, there is no relationship or symmetry between Mormonism and the Roman Catholic Church that would have a distinct and separate view of those that they would call saints and those that are the average Catholic who go to purgatory before they enter into heaven. In other words, the elite amongst Mormons, according to what you said, aren't really in some kind of a prestigious place in the afterlife over the other faithful Mormons who may be just as obedient to Mormon doctrine as those who are in the elite, like the presidents and the prophets and apostles in that church.
Yeah,
Is that true, or am I misreading you?
Vince?
Corey, Vince?
Well, I believe that if in the place that you're following Mormonism and following the leaders of the Mormon Church and pursuing the good works that they ask you to do in the temple services and in your ward, I think that would earn you kind of into a next level higher, and actually you still are progressing after you die towards a higher and higher glory. I don't think you can change between those levels of heaven. You have the highest heaven, the middle heaven, and the lower heaven. But even within those heavens, you continually can progress upward and with more effort. And in some sense, many of the Mormons that eventually leave or on the edge of Mormonism always feel they can't accomplish what has been put before them that they are required to do. So they just basically say, well, I'm just not good enough, and I'll be satisfied with one of the lower heavens.
And from what I understand, those who have committed certain crimes, the shedding of their own blood is required to prevent their damnation, such as Gary Gilmore, who went on a murder spree back in the 80s or 70s. I can't remember. I think it was the 1980s. He was a Mormon, or became a Mormon, and requested that he be executed by firing squad because it required the shedding of his blood. So am I right there that the Mormons teach that there are certain crimes and sins that require the shedding of their blood to prevent their damnation?
Again, it depends on which Mormon general authority you're listening to, but in particular, you're referencing Brigham Young. And I would say, to go back to the previous question, yeah, there's nothing really akin to sainthood. No praying to saints or anything like that. If there is any parallel there, Joseph Smith might well be that saint. But, yeah, Vince is right in terms of just the exaltation in terms of people being found worthy for the next life. Your progress never ends. Even there, the current God of Mormonism is still progressing, too. But we don't, in Mormonism, you don't pray to saints.
Actually, the understanding of the word itself, saint, goes more in line with everyone who is a Mormon and participating as a member of the Mormon Church is a saint. So that's how they usually view that.
Right, yeah, and as Christians do, we would say that every born-again person is a saint. We have time for one more question. This is a listener that actually wrote in yesterday, Joe in Slovenia. And our guest, Dr. Lynn K. Wilder, recommended to Joe that he send the same question to you two, thinking that you two may have more of an area of expertise in this particular subject that Joe in Slovenia is asking about. My question has to do with historical research and apologetics with Mormons. What, if any, experience do the authors have with exposing Mormons to the historical realities of the burnt-over districts of New York phenomenon caused by the abuses of Charles Finney and others during the suspect Second Great Awakening that led to movements including Mormonism? Does showing them that the Pelagian heresy of that time decimated the church, spawning several heretical groups, Mormonism being just one of them, help them to see that it sprang from bad spiritual soil?
Well, first thing I would say is that the questioner seems like someone who has read the Apostle Paul, taking one long breath for a sentence or a question.
No periods or commas in that question.
Yeah. Right. Read chapter one of J.P. Moreland's book, Loving God with All Your Mind. I guess if I'm tracking correctly, in the burned out district, Charles Finney, a lot of the kind of altar calls would be trying to invoke the feelings rather than presenting something and allowing it to take root in the soil
deeply into conviction.
And also, Finney's theology, his soteriology was certainly man-centered and did not require any kind of miraculous work of the Holy Spirit for salvation. He was very, very opposed to things that are historically considered biblical teachings by Protestants historically. He is an anomaly. He certainly was a heretical individual, did not believe in salvation by grace alone through faith alone because of the substitutionary death of Christ alone. But if you could continue, I'm sorry. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still not entirely clear on what the question was.
Basically, is that a helpful tool? Is it a helpful tool to point these kinds of things out to Mormons that their movement sprang from the soil of heretical movements like Charles Finney's, which was really a graceless movement? It was a man-centered works righteousness type of a movement that the Mormon church came out of. That's basically, I think, what he's saying. Does it help when you're evangelizing Mormons to bring that up?
In my view, no. They've probably never heard of any of that. But if I can come back to even something that Vince mentioned earlier, in addition to the Gospels, read the book of Galatians, or I would say Romans, where in both books, Paul talks about the use of the law. Calvin got into this too. One of the uses of the law was not, as Luther would say, to justify, but to terrify. And so before you can really present grace to someone and have it make sense, they have to see themselves as a sinner.
Amen.
In need of grace. And so one of the purposes for the law was to convict of the knowledge of sin. The law, as Paul says, is a pedagogical tool. It's a schoolmaster to lead men to Christ. Spurgeon talked about this. Use 90% law, 10% grace. I actually find it helpful, and I bring this up in one of my chapters in the book. I use the Book of Mormon as a way of helping them to see the point of the law shows us the knowledge of sin. Very bad news. I help take them through the law. I read through the Book of Romans with Mormon friends, and it creates the need for grace. I never saw the urgency, Chris, to convert until I heard about hell, until I heard how utterly sinful my sin was. And when I was presented the gospel at that time, it was different from anything I'd ever heard, but yet it resonated with my soul. I recognized that I was a sinner in need of grace. I didn't have the next life. I didn't have the luxury of seeing myself as a good person, but just not perfect yet, but on my way. No, I saw myself as a sinner. So I would say rather than deal with Pelagian controversies or East Coast burned out district or Finney or anything like that, talk about the use of the law. Use the law to bring about the knowledge of sin. Talk about the Ten Commandments. Get them, once again, to read the New Testament. Read the Gospels.
Amen. And we are out of time. I know that anybody can purchase this book from CVBBS.com. And, of course, I'm talking about Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Change Their Minds, published by Kriegel Publications. CVBBS.com is where you could purchase that, and you get a 10% discount by entering in the IRON coupon code. Any other contact information that either of you have, starting with you, Vince Eccles, why don't you give your contact information if you care to, or any websites and so on, and then we'll move on to Corey. Vince, are you there?
Contact information for me?
Any kind of contact information.
Well, the vince.eccles@gmail.com is definitely my email. So.
Okay, vince.eccles@gmail.com. And Corey Miller, anything that you care to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I'm president of an organization called Ratio Christi, ratiochristi.org. It is a campus apologetics alliance, and we specialize in equipping students and faculty with historical, philosophical, and scientific reasons for following Jesus. We're a campus ministry and very much believe in the local church and want to integrate with other Christians. We think we can do things bigger and better together.
Excellent. Well, I thank you both for being on the program. If you could hold on for a minute so I could say a proper goodbye to you off the air. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who wrote in questions. I apologize to anybody who we could not get their question read and answered on air. Perhaps next time we address Mormonism, you could join us with a question. I want you all to have a safe and blessed weekend and Lord's Day, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.